You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to Theater Geeks Anonymous. At this time, we ask that you turn off all cell phones, unless, of course, you're using them to listen to this podcast, in which case, please keep it on. And please refrain from any flash photography, as it is dangerous to the performers of this podcast. Please be advised that this production may contain strobe effects, loud or sudden noises, nudity, and but probably not. And now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Don't you see? It's so simple. Step one, we Google the biggest flops on Broadway. Step two, we find the crazy stories behind them. Step three, we see how they lose millions of dollars.
Millions?
Broadway isn't cheap. A lot of fancy people want to be producers. Step four, find out why the show won't go on. Step five, end this episode and head to Times Square.
Times Square? That'll never work. Only Broadway successes are in Times Square.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Sweet pea, come on, dance with me. Come on, come on, come on, come on, and dance. Oh, we're recording. It's one of those days, you know, where
our brains are fried.
Summer,
you can go.
They have been sous vide inside our skulls. It's a cooking process wherein you wrap the meat or whatever you're cooking inside a plastic bag and then vacuum seal it and then boil that bag. So the water doesn't actually touch the meat. It's all cooked within that packet. So it's kind of boiled and steamed, but it's called sous vide.
My mom used to do that with pot roast, and it was the best pot roast.
I bet.
Really good.
I bet. Sous vide is very trendy right now.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
She was doing that in the 80s, so I don't know, people.
Well, you know how those hipsters are. Puddle. Okay, we're surrounded by my dogs right now. And so they're finally starting to calm down a little bit. But, like, Sweet Pea just kept clawing my leg. It's very annoying. She's very cute and I love her, but I can't. I can't. So, welcome.
Welcome to Theater Geeks Anonymous.
The show where we chat about Broadway flops, scandals, and new works.
Who fails, who sues, we tell their story.
Yeah, we do. We're going to tell it with song.
She's going to tell it with song.
I'm going to tell it with song.
Because I don't sing.
I sing.
Do.
I do. I'm just going to, every response is going to be in song to you. So I'm going to wait for you to say something else. And then,
I'm just going to wait for you.
And then I'll just sing.
Mm-hmm. So, Pamela.
Yes.
What's today's show?
Well, today's show is Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson.
Is that what it sounds like?
Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. It's like, it's more punk rock. It's so fun.
Wish I had seen it.
Ebony. I do, too. I've got a story that I'm going to start before I... And this is all impromptu. I didn't know I was going to tell it until just this moment. So, it was... I had gotten Wicked. I had been offered the contract and was about to leave town. So, I was meeting up with all of my friends in New York beforehand. And, like, you know, just, like, shoving in coffee dates and lunch dates and dinners wherever I could before I left town again. Because I didn't know how long I was going to be away. Mm-hmm. And so, I was meeting up with my friend Trista. And we were going to have dinner together, and she started talking about this show she had just seen called Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. And I was like, that sounds really weird. Like, what in the world? And she goes, Pamela, I can't even describe to you what it's about, but it is so worth seeing. And at that point, it was still off-Broadway.
Okay. What theater was it at off-Broadway?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Because so I think it's in here somewhere.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But, off, oh, at the Public.
That's what I was just gonna guess. And I was like, let me not. I just feel like,
yeah.
The stuff I end up loving a lot is.
Is it the Public? Yeah. Okay. So, and. I just got to do this about a year ago. It was a one night only benefit performance.
You got performance. To do Bloody Andrew
uh-huh.
Jackson?
Yeah. It was fun.
Did you get to see it when your friend was like, it's really worth seeing?
No, because okay. then I left I left town.
Right.
And then it got to Broadway and lasted a second.
Yeah.
So sad.
That
okay,
was
so
a blink of an eye.
It really was. And I feel like we inadvertently created a theme in last season where right. the shows didn't succeed mostly because they decided not to do out of town tryouts. Yeah, which is a huge season. Mistake to make. So this season, I feel like the inadvertent through line is going to be that they did do out-of-town tryouts, but they didn't succeed because, you know, it was either not the right timing, mm-hmm. not the right cast. You know, the casts were people that people didn't know or, you know, stuff like that. So we'll chat about that now. Are you excited?
I am excited.
You should be. So Bloody Andrew Jackson was written, the book was written by Alex Timbers and the music and lyrics by Michael Friedman. It is a rock musical with music and lyrics. I was just about to say all of that stuff again. I'm going to do it though, because this is okay. the fun. So you will never forget their names. This is just the way I wrote it. You know, those one of those yeah. moments, yeah, where you copy and paste and you're like, oops, I didn't read that. Bloody Andrew Jackson is a rock musical with music and lyrics written by Michael Friedman and a book by its director, Alex Timbers.
Oh.
So Alex Timbers wrote the book, but he also directed the show. The show is a comedic, historical rock musical about the founding of the Democratic Party. It redefines Andrew Jackson, America's 7th president, as an emo rock star and focuses on populism, the Indian Removal Act, and his relationship with his wife, Rachel. I love the way that this next part is phrased. So it says, AJ kicked British butt, shafted the Indians, and smacked down the Spaniards, all in the name of these United States. Who cares if he didn't have permission? Bloody Andrew Jackson creators Michael Friedman and Alex Timbers cook up an alternate universe and draws parallels to today's political and populist landscape with their musical about the 7th U.S. president. So this is a Hamilton-type show before right. Hamilton.
Right, which a lot of people, when Hamilton came out, mm-hmm. were like comparing it to
yeah.
Andrew
they're, and they are different. You know, yeah. the music is very different. You've right. got, you know, the Hamilton, rap and kind of deaf poetry.
Hip-hop.
Hamilton's hip-hop. Of Hamilton. Yeah. And this one is decidedly emo mm-hmm. punk rock. And it makes it so hysterical. I really enjoyed it. It's definitely worth listening to. So the synopsis of the show, Bloody Andrew Jackson follows America's 7th president from his early days as a child on the wild frontier to his controversial reign in the White House. With the country divided into rich and poor, and with continued skirmishes with the Native Americans upsetting pieces of the New World, Jackson begins his steady climb from military strategist to populist rabble-rouser to president of the United States. Along the way, he meets his wife, Rachel, takes on the founding fathers, and rocks like no political figure has ever rocked before. It also asks the question, is wanting to have a beer with someone really a reason to elect? What if he's really, really hot?
It's like in Hamilton, talk less, smile more.
Mm-hmm.
That Aaron Burr, I'd like to have a beer with him.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I know. Populism. And you know what the first song is called?
What?
Populism! Yeah, yeah! Like, that's what it sounds like. Isn't that fun?
I have got to listen to this.
You should. Mm. You can definitely find it on Pandora.
Spotify, question mark?
Spotify, yes.
Okay.
Oh, actually, Spotify is where I listen to it. So probably okay. Pandora, but definitely Spotify. And I think that there are some videos, I'm not sure from the production, but I know that there are videos from, like, Good Morning America type shows where they performed. So you can find those on YouTube as well. The production of Bloody Andrew Jackson. I have to say the whole thing because I can't just be Andrew Jackson. Bloody Andrew Jackson opened off Broadway in May 2009 at the Public Theater in New York in a concert version and returned to run from March 23rd in previews to June 27th of 2010. As I mentioned before, Alex Timbers, who wrote the book, also directed the show. Danny Mefford was the choreographer, and Justin Levine was the music director. The show premiered on Broadway at the Bernard B. Jacobs Theater, with previews starting on September 21st, 2010, and opening night October 13th, 2010. Many of the cast from the off-Broadway production reprised their roles, including Benjamin Walker in the title role.
He was in American Psycho, which will also be on this season.
Yes, it will. This kid is amazing. He's so perfect in that kind of anti-hero kind of role that Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson was, that American Psycho is. You know, like, he's just really, he fits that to a T. Despite the positive reviews and the early Tony buzz, the musical ended up closing on January 2nd of 2011 after only 120 performances. Okay. Critics blamed the poor economy during the show's run and its unorthodox story and presentation for the show's failure to build popularity on Broadway. The show, which cost $4.5 million, which actually...
Oh, that's not a lot at
it's
all.
It's not at
Holy
all.
Holy jeez.
It's a very small cast.
Like, for that... What year was that again?
2011. 2010, 2011.
That's, wow. That's it. That's so cheap.
I know. So it can be done.
Wow.
But it does ultimately close at a loss, unfortunately, according to the New York Times. The reception, you know, it was received mostly positively. The New York Daily News called it bloody entertaining, and Benjamin Walker was magnetic and energetic, applauding the show for its lightweight and silly atmosphere. The New York Times noted that there's no show in town that more astutely reflects the state of this nation than Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. And that's very true, too, because that was the time that I think Donald Trump was just starting to be, you know, to kind of put himself out there as possibly, like, he wasn't running yet, because nobody was running yet, but he was like, maybe I'll do it, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
So it really, and who's more a populist than Donald Trump at this point?
Well.
We're not going to talk about politics.
We won't keep going down that rabbit hole.
We won't.
Okay.
We won't. The New York Times, Variety, Entertainment Weekly. I almost said ew, because I put the initials. I just put the initials. So, like, all I wrote was NYT, Variety, ew, Chi-Try. That's Chi-Try. The Chicago Tribune. They all loved it. The Associated Press, though, was on the fence. And although I think that's mostly from feeling confused by the show, their review, well, I'll just read it to you. It says, the whole thing is just plain odd. This show walks a fine line between parody and sincerity, between mocking musicals and yet embracing them, between promoting stereotypes and yet laughing at them, between respect for history and having none at all, and between making fun of rock stars and yet producing one. It sometimes falters, yet never loses its swagger. It's very true. You know how the show South Park takes no prisoners? Like, everyone is up for, you know, they can make fun of anybody. Mm-hmm. There's nobody is fair game. And this is the kind
everybody
of musical.
Everybody is fair game, you mean?
Yes. Everybody is fair game. Yeah. Thank you. This is that musical, too. It's where, you know, they are simultaneously making fun of how Andrew Jackson is being this, like, little bratty emo kid who, you know, lost his toys and now doesn't want to play with anybody, and now nobody gets to keep their toys, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But also saying what a great idea it was for him to become president, because then he was able to achieve all of these things. And by achieve all of these things, he basically decimated the entire native nation.
Right. It's not good things.
It's not good things. It was good, I think, to the people at the time, because they needed something to happen. But in hindsight, it was a tragic, tragic event.
I feel like this would be, I feel like maybe right now is due for a revival. I would say it's maybe revival time.
I think so.
I think we're in a good place. Whoever's for listening, Andrew Jackson to
right?
come back.
I think so too.
Well, I mean, ultimately, the show, not the actual Andrew Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because that would be weird.
And
that would be called zombie Andrew Jackson.
It would. And we don't want anything he did to happen again.
No. That was when we did it last year at Theater Horizon in Norristown, Pennsylvania. It was just a one night only, you know, benefit concert. Mm-hmm. But the reason they did it at that time was because we hadn't had the elections yet.
Yeah.
we were having the campaigning, and it was so closely paralleling the exact scenario of the campaign that we were just going through.
It makes me the happiest. I love when art does that. It's like, because I just feel like, I feel like art is a thing that we have in this world that is very like, it's just like this otherness. Mm-hmm. If I can, I'm trying to like word this right, but it's just like something that God implants in people. it's like this drive and this passion to create art and to create theater and to create music and choreograph and like all of the things that are like performing and fine art. Like they're just, it's like they're like born into you. It's like you have mm-hmm. to be able to create them. And so,
well, it is literally the only thing that separates us from an animal.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so like when I see that, like, somebody had this idea and they created something that so clearly just like proves to me that it's such an otherness, that it's like outside of ourselves, that the ability and desire to create like comes from outside of ourselves.
Yeah.
And then it's like I feel like God knew what was coming down the pike. And so he's like, Alex, write this.
Right.
Even though maybe Alex might not, you know, believe the way I do, but it's just like mm-hmm. this otherness takes over and is like, you need to create this thing. And then here we are years later, and that thing he created several years ago is perfect for right now. And it's just,
it's true.
I love when that happens.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
I will honestly say, too, that's how I feel about The Handmaid's Tale.
I can't even watch it because I'm like, ugh. I read it in college and I was like, ugh. And now I'm like, oh, God.
This is, I mean, when was that book written? Do you remember?
Well, so I read it in like 2000. And
I mean, it was like the late 1900s, right? It was It was earlier than that?
Because Margaret Atwood is still alive, and she's, like, working on the show, and she's, like,
It was in 2000s?
She's in the... Let me...
Look it up.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound stupid.
Margaret Atwood is in the show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who is she?
She was, like, in a couple of scenes, but I think she's one of the handmaids or something, but I'm sure that she was on the show.
Okay. So I was thinking that it was written in the 80s, but I am completely off then.
Let me see. Okay. So this is what she looks like. If that helps you place her on the show.
Oh, I think I saw her. 1985. I was
okay,
right.
So it was
written in the 80s. Okay, good. So I wasn't too... I was going to be like, oh, was it written in 2000? Never mind. No, it was written in 1985. Yeah. So, like, this was long enough ago. That was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, long enough ago that you just kind of read it and it's just a book. But you read it again and you watch the show and it's scary how close we are to something like that happening. Right. It's scary. And I think watching the show for me, I got so anxious watching. Like, it was little, and I was like, it was so good and I had to keep watching it. But it was like every episode I was like, please just end. Please just end, because I can't watch this anymore. But I have to watch it.
Did you read the book?
I never read the book. But I'm definitely going to, because it's such a good show.
It's that I was at Stephen Schwartz concert a few months ago, and I was sitting next to this lady who had started watching Handmaid's Tale, and I haven't watched the show yet, but like I said, I did read the book in college. And so she said, you have to just tell me. You have to tell me. How, like, do things change? Like, is she going to, like, take over? Like, is there going to be a revolt? I said, well, it's just open-ended. And so, obviously, like, the show's going to have to, like, continue to go mm-hmm. and, like, go past where the book went. But it's, like, this thing of... it's, like, you know, Margaret was, like...
I don't know.
I don't know what's going to happen.
You tell me what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's exactly...
Well, same thing with 1984 and Animal Farm.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have this great happy ending where everything goes back to normal. You have this ending that is, like, slightly creepy and slightly terrifying, really, if you think about it. Because things have changed, and because they have changed, they have become normalized, and because they have become normalized, we can never go back to what used to be.
That's right.
And that is the most terrifying thing in the world. But I think my point in bringing that up is because art is able to tell us what history has yet to tell us. And it can either help us to avoid it, or it can push us right down the pipeline.
It just depends on how we receive it, how we look at it, and how motivated we are to make sure that it doesn't happen.
And that it doesn't happen, Oh, man. I tell you what it's like. You give me the option of being a handmaid or going to the colonies, and I'm going to choose the colonies.
Is the colonies is like well, the colonies concentration camp?
They tell them that the colonies is like an irradiated area that you basically die very slow and painful death of just like your skin sloughing off and you just die. And I would rather do that. I'm sorry. That's just me. I'm not going to, you know, it's the idea, and the idea also that the premise is that they put this to a biblical background makes me even more horrified by it. Like, the actions of these people. Ugh. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we were talking about bloody interjection. But it's hard because, like, you know, it's art is that. You know, art makes people feel. Art makes people... Yeah.
Good art.
Good art. Yeah, good and bad, really.
Well, that's true.
If, you know...
If it's bad, you're like, oh, you feel real bad that you wasted that time. You are feeling the pain of that time
wasted.
Exactly.
But I think the true test of a really good piece of art is that you leave and you can't stop thinking about it. And that goes for a show, that goes for a book, that goes for a piece of like a physical piece of art that you can look at. Ebony, I'm sorry, your face just then. Puddle sat
he's
down,
like,
and he's
over,
a heavy dog, but he's
but
like
he like the way he did one of his legs just was like an elbow into my and it hurt.
He does. I'm gonna take a picture of you. Because this is really cute.
I'm trying to record with him on my lap.
It's really adorable. Anyway, so, I mean, we have definitely digressed, but I think also it's still in the vein of that.
Of course.
But Bloody Andrew Jackson is one of those shows. I mean, they don't take any prisoners. There's a really awesome song called The Corrupt Bargain that is... I'm not kidding you. Like, there's three girls singing dee 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 Andrew Jack, you know, like, and they'll sing about all these same people. The corrupt bargain is the backroom deal that is made between all of the political figures of the time. So Henry Clay, Thomas Jefferson.
It's like the room where it happened.
Exactly. But basically, you know, that
room. Of course, Thomas Jefferson was in that room too. Of course, he was.
He liked his
backroom
deals.
With all his backroom deals. Why is there not a musical? Okay, I want somebody. I mean, I'm a writer, so maybe I could do it. But I would like somebody to write a Thomas Jefferson musical. And the only stipulation is you absolutely must put David Diggs in the lead role.
He's so good.
He's perfection.
Yeah, he really is. But so the corrupt bargain is the backroom deal that they make to get John Quincy Adams elected instead of Andrew Jackson. And so, but it's all done behind closed doors, and they're doing it so that Andrew Jackson won't be president. So, like, it's very corrupt. It was a very corrupt time.
I mean, still happening.
Absolutely. With
what
lobbyists,
people try to do.
I mean,
with
that's what
Trump.
A lobbyist is.
Yeah, and it's what they were trying to do with Trump. But didn't work.
It didn't work. But it's all set to this music that is just the opposite of what you're watching. It's, I mean, it's
so
really,
great.
It's very funny. It's really well written. It's very smart, but it definitely makes you leave going, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, because one man getting elected had the consequence of the Trail of Tears, which was the decimation of the people. Native American people. Yeah. The decimation. Like, it's, I mean, that... So, on that point, there was actually quite a bit of controversy surrounding the show. The original off-Broadway run was criticized by the Native American community at large, and a production in Minneapolis in June of 2014 faced public protest by the New Native America... the New Native Theater. At the Fountain Theatricals, a student organization at Stanford University dedicated to musical theater and performing arts education, canceled its production of the show for their fall 2014 semester production due to pressure from the Stanford American Indian Organization, or SAIO, who voiced their concerns about the use of offensive caricatures in Native people, regardless of the satirical style of the show. Because I will defend the show by saying... They make fun of everybody, but they, I mean, it is a very touchy subject still to the Native American people.
Well, because we're still doing them wrong. Because
we're still doing it. We're still douchebags to them.
Yes.
Ugh, awful. Raleigh Little Theater canceled their 2015 season's production of Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson and replaced it with Hedwig and the Angry Inch, claiming a lack of support from the local members of the Native American community. So they switched out Bloody Andrew Jackson for Hedwig because the other one was too controversial.
That's hysterical.
I know. But it is, I mean, it is interesting. I... obviously can't speak to how the Native American people feel. I do recommend that if you have the opportunity to listen to the music, it's definitely worth listening to. If you can get your hands on the script, it's definitely worth reading because of what we were just speaking of. Mm-hmm. That, you know, if we don't know what happened in the past, we will never be able to prevent it in the future. Right. That is what, you know, that's why history is so important. Right. So that we can learn from our mistakes and hopefully, you know, move against those mistakes in the future. Mm-hmm. However, I do also want to be sensitive to the fact that there is a sect of people that are shown in this production in a not great light. Everyone's shown in a not great light, to be honest, because they really just shine the light on the truth of it.
Right.
But I also, you know, I do want to be sensitive. It's difficult, though, because it is musical theater, and that's what we talk about.
Right.
And that's what we love so much. But, man.
Wait, I do wish I had seen it. I wish I had seen it.
It's funny. It's funny.
Yeah.
I know. And I wish that I had been able to see it, too. Although, being in it was fun. There's this character that I played called the Storyteller, who's just, like, the narrator of it. So I just sat in a little armchair off to the side of the stage.
And basically watched the show and, like, had...
Yeah. But it was also, like, you know, because the Storyteller and Andrew Jackson will at some points interact.
Mm-hmm.
Because he'll overhear her telling a story, but telling it, you know, putting him in a bad light, or, you know, telling a story a little, you know, slightly askew from what it is, or just being slightly annoying. And so at one point he shoots her.
Like dead?
Or... Yeah, dead, like with an arrow through the chest.
No!
Like she's just dead. But even that's funny.
Well, like, right, the way and that's that accurate happens. To the character.
And it's very accurate. I mean, well, it, you know, by all accounts... You know, Andrew Jackson's childhood, if it is to be believed what we are reading in history, you know, the bulk of his family died of cholera when they were living in Tennessee, but his mom and dad both died, I think, from Native American attacks. And so that was where his hatred of the people started, was in his formative years. So, you know, it's not unbelievable that he would grow up to be the president and that would be the first thing on his agenda.
Right.
Doesn't make it right.
No.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
No.
I remember my mom telling me that.
That's not how math works.
Nope. Nope.
Nope.
Two wrongs make two wrongs.
That's right. That's actually how math works.
two plus two equals wrong. Anywho, but that's Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson.
It's a fascinating story.
It is fascinating. And it's even more, like, I haven't even, you know, like, it, when I was reading the synopsis online, I think Wikipedia goes through the entire show, like, from scene to scene to scene and all through, like, basically what the libretto would tell you if you got the cast recording. Mm-hmm. And there is a cast recording, but like I said, it is available on Spotify, too, so you can listen to it there. But it's fun, and it's, you know, it's not like any Broadway show that you've ever heard before. Right. It's a complete departure, so it's...
Was that before or after... American Idiot, though.
When was American Idiot? Do you remember?
It was American Idiot was, I know it was on Broadway in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure if it opened in 09 or if it opened in 2010.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Because that obviously is Green Day. So you mm-hmm. have the rock, emo.
Yeah, that alternative
yeah.
punk sound, grunge, I guess.
And then Bloody Bloody was 2011?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so...
Well, Bloody... let me bring it up. Because they first opened in May 2009. So they may have been first.
Oh, the public.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And American Idiot... Let me pull up Wikipedia. In March of 2010. So almost a year later. So Bloody was first. Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson was first.
But then Bloody was on Broadway after American Idiot.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's not, I mean, I wouldn't say it's the same just because Green Day, they were Green Day songs put to a show, right? In American Idiot.
Right.
So it was like a Green Day album put on stage. This is all original music.
Okay.
It just happens to be in that same rock, punk, mm-hmm. grungy, emo
right.
alternative style.
But I'm just saying musically.
Oh, I gotcha.
Musically, there are they similar?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say they are.
Okay.
I would say they are. Okay. There you go. So, hey, do us a favor. Check us out on Facebook at Theater Geeks Anonymous.
You can also follow us on Twitter at TGA.
B-way!
we're also on iTunes.
Please. And SoundCloud if you have Android. We found that out in the last episode.
and on SoundCloud, you can follow us. And then on Twitter, or I'm sorry, not on Twitter, on iTunes, you can subscribe. Please also rate and review.
Please.
So that we can either be a new and noteworthy, which actually I think is ending soon.
Okay.
But
it'll keep us like up on the, yes. you know, as people search for different new podcasts, we'll be like right at the top of the list if you keep rating and reviewing as well.
Yeah, and please share.
Yes,
tell
please do.
All your theater friends who you think will be interested. Mm-hmm. It is my hope to get us on Stitcher this season.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I just woke up my dogs with that voice. They just like popped up their heads.
That's hey, my next project.
Also, if you have any questions or comments, corrections, stories, if you got to see Bloody Bloody Andrew yes. Jackson, you please let me know by sending us an email at tgabway@gmail.com. And that's it.
That's it.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com.